out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 15th of October, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, it's the start of another week of anti-white news and lies in the mainstream media. The mainstream media, it does report on facts, but the way that they actually put these facts across is often in such a way as to not wake people up to what's actually going on. I mean, they will report on crime, but they won't actually report on the race of the criminal. They won't show you the race of the criminal. They won't even hint at the fact that a lot of this crime is brought about just purely through hatred of white people by blacks. And this news story that I've got to begin with today, once again, it's about black crime, but it's also about white stupidity. And the reason given for the white stupidity, I think, is actually wrong. I think it's another reason. A Somalian whose deportation from Britain was dramatically halted after airline passengers staged a mutiny demanding his release can be exposed today as a convicted gang rapist who is being kicked out of the country because of his sickening crime. Now, this obviously follows on from what happened in Sweden. I'm sure most of you will remember there was a plane that was going out of Sweden. A young Swedish girl stopped the plane from leaving because there was a Negro on the plane that was being deported back to his homeland. And she got a lot of support for this in the Swedish media, especially from the Green Party. There was a copycat incident happened in Finland, and in Finland they said, don't be so ridiculous. If you continue with your hysteria, we will be arresting you rather than stopping the plane from flying. And in this case, now it's happened in Britain. And they did actually stop the flight from taking off. And obviously, as it says here, this guy was a rapist. And thankfully, these people that stopped the plane from taking off, they filmed it so everyone can see who these idiots are. Officials escorting Jakub Ahmed on a flight from Heathrow to Turkey were forced to abandon his deportation when around a dozen holidaymakers who felt sorry for him angrily intervened shortly before takeoff. At one stage during the astonishing episode filmed on mobile phones, one traveller complained, "They're separating him from his family," while others chanted, "Take him off the plane." And this is all because of things that they've seen, because of the way that refugees and immigrants have been put across by the government. All year long, we've been hearing about the sainted Windrush generation, how wonderful people they are, and how terrible it is that the government is sending them back. And now they've stopped sending them back. They mistakenly sent a couple back that they didn't actually mean to. And of course, they've got to pay out all this compensation. But the average person of the British public, what he's been told is that this is a terrible thing, sending these people back. They're refugees. They're here just because they're fleeing war. And the brutal British government is sending them back. And here you've got the words, "They're separating him from his family." Of course, that's obviously been influenced by all this nonsense in America about how Donald Trump is deliberately locking children up separate from their families in cages and all this crap. Well, he separated himself from his family by coming to Britain in the first place? Surely he's got family back there in Africa, where he's headed for, and if he wanted to stay with the family that he has in Britain, perhaps he shouldn't have raped somebody. I mean, the only reason they will deport someone is if they have carried out, well, you have to carry out the most incredibly violent, horrific crimes before the UK government will actually deport anyone. And they always have an appeals process that they go through. 9 times out of 10, when a black criminal it is found that they could actually deport him, he doesn't actually get deported because they end up appealing. They end up saying, oh, well, the conditions are so terrible back in Africa that I would be killed if I went back there. If they found out that I was homosexual or that I'd raped somebody anally, I would be killed. And they use excuses like that. So it's very, very rare that anyone is actually sent back. And if they are, then they have to have carried out horrific crimes, which obviously this Somalian had. Gang rape. And yet these clowns on the plane must have thought that he was just being sent back and he was just a refugee. How terrible it is. And of course, they wanted to prove that they're anti-racist. They wanted to virtue signal how much they love the Negroes and how much they hate the government. And it's backfired on them. It really has backfired on them. When harassed security guards caved in and walked 29-year-old Ahmed off the Turkish Airlines flight, he was seen thanking those on board for their support as they cheered and applauded. They cheered and applauded a black gang rapist. One person was heard declaring, "You're free, man." And this is the level of education that we have in Britain about these matters. Their support is for the black criminal, not for their fellow white man. I mean, it would not have even crossed their mind that maybe he was a rapist, because they think that what we say about Negroes being far more likely to carry out rape, they think that, oh, that's just a far-right talking point. That's not possibly true. That's just these stupid far-right people that don't know the real statistics. That's the way that they think. It wouldn't have even crossed their mind that he was being deported for violent crime. They would have thought that he was being deported just for being black. The passengers, who thought they were doing a good deed, were unaware that the man that they were defending had been sentenced to 9 years in jail for his part in the vicious gang rape of a teenage girl, and that another member of his gang later fought for the Islamic State in Syria. Today, the Mail on Sunday can reveal how Ahmed and 3 other youths preyed on a 16-year-old stranger after she became separated from her friends during a night out in London's Leicester Square in August 2007. So this was she was probably white. You don't really get non-white tourists in Britain, apart from the Chinese, and I doubt very much whether they would have wanted to rape a Chinese girl. So you've got a white holidaymaker who is 16 years old, who has lost her friends, and these savages gang raped her. And that was back in 2007. So it's taken 10 years before they've actually tried to deport the rapist. 10 years. We've wasted all that money keeping him in prison, paying for his lifestyle in prison. He was sentenced to 9 years, so he would have come out after 4 years. So for the last 5 years, he's probably been involved in the appeals process, which the British government pays for, or which the British taxpayer ends up paying for. They get legal aid for the appeals process. And now they're finally actually sending him back, and stupid white people on the plane interfere with it and think that they're being heroes for doing so. In the planned attack, the Negro gang lured her back to a flat in Crouch End, North London, by pretending that her friends were waiting for her there, where they then gang raped her. So this girl is obviously fairly innocent to be thinking that her friends were there. Maybe she had met one of these Negroes earlier on in the night, and they've just preyed on her innocence. The gang, aged between 18 and 20, were caught when neighbours heard the girl's cries for help and rang police. Another part of this is that you've got four Negroes altogether that all think this is acceptable. All four of them thought this was acceptable. The girl was screaming for help, and yet they continued to gang rape her. This wouldn't happen with white people. You know, if white lads are out and one of them tried to rape a girl, the other white lads would beat the crap out of him. They wouldn't join in. That just doesn't happen. And sometimes you get girls who get drunk and they do want to sleep with everyone. That's not out of the realms of possibility. But then if they're screaming for help, they obviously don't. It's obviously rape if the girls are screaming for help like was happening here. And these Negroes just continued. They just continued to rape the girl. All four of them denied rape. How can that? It was neighbours that called the police to say that they heard the screaming. All four Negroes denied rape, despite DNA evidence. They were found guilty at Wood Green Crown Court and each was jailed for 9 years. Police Detective Emma Bird said at the time, the sentences given out by the judge reflect the seriousness of this offence. Ahmed, 18 at the time of the rape and living in Clerkenwell, North London, is thought to have been granted refugee status after arriving in Britain from war-torn Somalia as a boy. So this is one of these poor refugee children that we're hearing about that we should be giving homes to in Britain simply because they're children and we should be feeling sorry for them. And then once they get to the age of 18, they're just gangsters. They're gang rapists. People look at the young Negroes, they think, ah, the poor, innocent kid that's seen a lot of war and, you know, he's travelled to make his way all the way across here, across Europe. And then within a couple of years, they're raping. That's if they're not raping at 12 years old or 13 years old. And I'm talking about here that the genuine Negro children, not the ones that claim to be 16 years old that are actually 30, that have also carried out rapes and horrific things in schools. What about this Afghan child in Germany recently that raped a young boy in his class, raped a 10-year-old boy in his classroom, and an Iraqi held him down? And this sort of behaviour is culturally acceptable among the non-white races. And it's now happening in our countries. And it's our people that it's being done to. I'd make a safe bet that this was a white girl that this was done to. Now, obviously, as I was saying at the beginning of this podcast, the mainstream media won't tell us the race of the victim. They're not actually telling us the race of the people that carried this out. I mean, they're just saying he's Somalian. And they could say, oh, well, yes, but it could be a white person with a Somalian citizenship. Obviously not, but that's how they get around it, because they won't tell us the race of these people that are doing this. He was released from prison after serving little more than 4 years. There you go, I was correct. He served half his sentence and lived in a halfway house in North London until recently. So he spent 5 years in a halfway house in North London. Because he'd been jailed for such a serious crime, the Home Office ordered his deportation, which led to him being placed on the flight to Istanbul last Tuesday afternoon. So for the last 5 years, his case has been going through the courts. He's been appealing against being deported. You'd think how much of a fortune that has cost the British people trying to save this black rapist's ass from having to go back to his own homeland. I mean, what is wrong with people being sent back to their own homeland? Surely they would be happy in the land of their ancestors, in the land that they were born in. Why don't these people want to go back? Why don't they want to go back to their own countries? Because they know that their life is better off in our countries, because they know that they are incapable of creating the conditions that we have in white countries. They are completely incapable of creating those conditions for themselves. He received a temporary reprieve because of the impromptu intervention of passengers. But when video of the protest was published by the Mail Online, hundreds of readers expressed their outrage. You see, these people that did this, they thought they were going to be cheered on. They thought that they were going to be looked at as heroes for saving the Negro from being deported. One wrote, "The police should have been called and all the passengers who were interfering should have been arrested and removed from the plane." Yes, that's exactly what should have happened. Another user said, "Looked like a plane full of snowflakes. And a third pointed out, now it will cost a lot more to fly the man back on a private charter. Well done, silly, interfering, self-seeking, do-gooding idiots. Well, they shouldn't really be on these passenger planes anyway. But then I guess the problem is you've got airline companies like Virgin that have refused to deport anyone. They said we are going to refuse to allow our planes to be used for deporting black criminals from Britain. And Virgin Airlines have refused to do that. So I guess what they're having to do now is pay for flights to send these savages back. And of course you have to have, if it's a commercial ticket, they would obviously have to have police guards with them and pay for their tickets on the plane. How much cheaper and how much more sensible would it be just to not allow them into our countries in the first place? So we don't have to go through all this bother and all this cost of sending them back. Just don't let them in the first place. Just treat them like an invading army. Shoot the boats. Shoot the invaders. Trespassers will be shot. I can remember seeing trespassers will be shot at places when I was a child. Anyone that tries to break into Britain, we're quite within our rights to shoot them. And I dare say it would soon stop. Once they realised that they were going to be treated like an invading army, which they are, they would stop invading. They would go and try and invade somewhere else. Ahmed is now believed to be in an immigration detention centre while officials try to place him on another flight out of the UK. But this process could take months, particularly if his lawyers use his temporary reprieve as an opportunity to appeal against his deportation. See, this guy's got lawyers. He's got white people working for him to try to prevent him from being deported. And what is the deportation? The deportation is saying, we cannot have this person in our country because he's a threat to the well-being of everyone else. It's been proved that he's a threat to the well-being of everyone else. His DNA was found on the rape victim. It's been proved beyond all shadow of doubt that he is a threat to society. And yet we've got white lawyers that are working to appeal against his deportation. You may say, oh yes, but it may actually be a black lawyer. But the lawyer firm itself that is working for this is white lawyers. And the whole idea of justice and law and the whole justice system that we have was created by white people. Negroes don't even have a sense of justice. They don't have a history of having trials and having juries and having judges. It's the law of the jungle. That's where it comes from. And yet here they are benefiting from our own innovation and using it against us. And they always will use it against us. The only way to prevent this is to just deport a lot of them. Don't allow any of them into the country. Last night, Tory backbencher Philip Hollabone, who has tabled bills to speed up the deportation of foreign criminals, said, "We need to deport these people, and members of the public should not be allowed to obstruct the proper course of justice. Officials accompanying the deportee need to react appropriately to passengers who do not know what is going on. To simply walk off in the face of passenger confusion is not good enough." Harry Fletcher of the Victims' Rights Campaign said, "This deportation was clearly in the public interest. Sitting deportees in the general passenger area of a plane is wrong and leads to this kind of ill-informed protest." Well, I think what's really wrong is the propaganda that we have here in Britain. It's the propaganda that's at fault here. If the white British people hadn't been propagandized into thinking that these blacks that are over here are refugees, they're just the same as us, that they're all being oppressed, and any of the ones that are being deported are very likely members of the sainted Windrush generation that we're all supposed to be bowing down to, and then they see somebody that's being deported on a plane, they're going to try to stop the deportation, aren't they? They think they're going to be doing the right thing and they're going to get cheered on for it. If they were actually told the truth, if they were actually told that Negroes are vastly more responsible for violent crime than white people, 85% of all grooming gangs are carried out by Pakistanis, there was no such thing as mugging in Britain until we had immigration, there was no such thing as acid attacks in London until we had non-whites over here, if they were told that white women are 8 times more likely to be murdered by their boyfriend if their boyfriend is black, if they're told that a white woman is raped every 15 minutes by a Negro in America and no Negresses are ever raped by white men, if they were told these sort of statistics and that every new home in Britain is being built for a non-white, then they would be cheering the plane's captain on and saying, get this savage out of our country. They wouldn't be interfering in the deportation. It's because the British people have been lied to. That's why they interfered in this. That's why they thought they would be welcomed for being heroes, because they didn't think for 1 minute that the guy would be a gang rapist. And of course, once you actually know the facts, then you expect him to be a gang rapist. You expect Negroes to be rapists. That's their normal courting ritual. That's their way of having sex, is just to take whatever they see. They don't have the respect for marriage or the sexual act that we do. It's just like animals. That's the Negro courting ritual. See an unattended Negress, take her. I mean, the actual word for it is like borrowing a woman. I borrowed one of the women. Saw one on her own and I borrowed her. That's the terminology that they use. And there is no difference between the word for sex and the word that there is for rape. One of Ahmed's co-defendants, Adnan Muhammad, was granted refugee status in Britain in 2002, having been born in Somalia. So the rest of this gang raping gang were Somalian refugees as well. And he is still thought to be in the UK. So they don't even know where he is, this other gang rapist. The youngest member of the gang, Ondogo Ahmed, travelled to Syria to fight for Islamic State just months after he was freed from jail. He is thought to have been killed a few weeks later. So these guys are religious as well. They're obviously religious Muslims. Devout religious Muslims, if they're going off to lay down their lives to fight for the Islamic State, and they think it's perfectly acceptable to gang rape teenagers as well, because that's perfectly acceptable in Islam if it's a non-Muslim. Obviously, this girl was a non-Muslim. At least we can say from this that now such an example has been made of this, it's not likely to happen again, is it? I don't think we are likely to see white people holding up a plane in Britain if it's trying to deport Negroes, now that it's been exposed that it's highly likely that the Negro will have been a gang rapist or a terrorist. So that's one good thing that's come out of this. Anyway, I've got another news story for us today about the good old BBC, the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation. The BBC is going to increase the number of LGBTQ people appearing in its programmes and news output as part of new diversity reforms, as if we didn't have enough homosexuals on TV. I mean, everywhere I go, I hear people saying, well, there just aren't enough queers on the television. I wish the BBC would put more queers on TV. No, that's not something you ever hear, is it? They will be incidental portrayals, meaning that their sexuality is not part of a storyline or directly relevant to a news item. So it won't actually be people buggering one another on there. It will be people that are behaving as if they were obvious homosexuals, which of course is going to give people watching it the false idea that that's the normal way for people to behave. It's normal for men to walk like women, talk like women, talk in a camp way. It's going to be portrayed as if that's perfectly normal to the people that are growing up watching television. And of course, they will also be putting this in children's TV as well. In fact, I bet a lot of this goes on in the children's TV, where they will be portraying husband and husband and two women in bed together and things like that. Not actually carrying out homosexual acts, but obviously being homosexual. Why they're doing this, I don't know. This hasn't actually come from the public. It looks like the reason for this has come from the homosexuals themselves, from a questionnaire that they gave the homosexuals that work at the BBC. off-screen and off-air, LGBT staff will be encouraged to bring their whole self to work and be open about their sexuality. What are they saying there? Bugger one another on the set? We want to see you engaging in anal sex in between takes? Is that what they're saying? Bring their whole self to work? Doesn't everybody bring their whole self to work? All they can be talking about here is what actually makes them different from heterosexuals, which is the homosexual act. Other recommendations include the use of non-binary pronouns used by staff where appropriate, and a network of straight allies who will announce their status with pin badges or special email signatures. So they're going to have people on set with badges saying, I support boy buggery, or I support carpet munching. And really, what is the point of this? All these recommendations are included in a new report based on a survey of LGBT staff attitudes. So it's just based on them surveying the queers that already work there, who have quite predictably have said, well, we want to see more queers on TV. Which found, that's the new report, the new report found that many perceived the corporation to have a heteronormative culture. Well, of course they would say that, wouldn't they? LGBT staff account for 11% of the total BBC workforce. And considering they only make up 1% of the general population, there are 10 times as many homosexuals working at the BBC than there are their percentage in the population. They make up 12% of the senior staff. I mean, that's a gay mafia. That's what you have there. You have a gay mafia at the BBC. BBC bosses say they have acted to ensure they retain and attract the best LGBT talent as an employer and to appeal to a younger audience as a broadcaster. Well, how about they just attract the best talent? Surely that's what people want. They want the best talent. They don't want only the best homosexuals. Only the best homosexuals at the BBC. Perhaps they could use that as an advertising strapline. And what's this wanting to appeal to younger audiences? So if they want to appeal to a younger audience, they've got to put lots of sodomy on there and transsexuals. Is that what the youngsters want? They haven't actually asked the youngsters what they want. James Purnell, Director of Radio and Education, said one of our big challenges currently is around young audiences. In a recent YouGov survey, only 51% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they identified as completely heterosexual. Now, why might that be? It couldn't possibly be because of all the brainwashing that's been going on. It couldn't possibly be because the wording of the question was in a very ambivalent way. I mean, they're not saying there that they are homosexual, are they? They're just saying that they understand that you can have feelings for your own sex. You don't have to act on it, though, do you? That's the thing. That's the difference. The way that it's being portrayed today is that if anybody has feelings for their own sex, if they like their own sex in any way whatsoever, then they must be homosexual and they should be attempting to have heterosexual intercourse with them in some way or another. That's what's being pushed today. Whereas years ago, you could admire people. You could admire your own kind without being accused of being sexually attracted to them. You could say, he's cool, or, yeah, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's a pretty cool guy. You know, it wouldn't mean that you were sexually attracted to him. It would mean that you had admiration for another alpha male, say. And yet today, these kids are taught that, oh, that means that you're sexually attracted to them. That means that you're not a heterosexual. You're not fully heterosexual. Part of you is gay. Or does that work the other way around, though? Because do they ever say that these homosexuals, well, part of them is actually straight? Why don't they try concentrating on the straight part and not engaging in unnatural acts? Of course, it doesn't work the other way around, does it? They will never talk about it being the other way around. Continuing with the article, an organisation that appears to have a heteronormative culture is not one that is going to cut ice with the young generation, either as a consumer or an employee. We're aiming to create the most open and inclusive culture that we can. Well, it's not very inclusive for straight people, is it? If 10% of all the people working at the BBC are homosexuals and 12% of the top brass. An internal survey of 300 LGBT staff at the BBC. So that's all it took for the BBC to make this announcement. An internal survey of 300 queers that worked for the BBC, and now they're going to be making all these changes in all these areas. An internal survey of 300 LGBT staff at the BBC revealed areas requiring improvement. Of course they're going to say it requires improvement, including a heteronormative culture. Well, you would expect a heteronormative culture because we are a heteronormative people. If we weren't heteronormative, we would die out. We wouldn't have any children, would we, if we weren't heteronormative? So basically a natural culture, which of course the queers don't like. A need for inclusive non-binary language to help out the 0.001% of the population that are transsexual. Everybody else needs to change. And they highlighted insufficient support for trans staff. Don't forget those 480 transsexuals working at the BBC. Far, far, far more than their percentage of the population. And a need to adopt LGBTQ or LGBTQ+. And of course, the LGBTQ+ also includes pedophiles. Karen Millington and Matt Weaver said, "We hope this makes everyone feel included, whether genderqueer, bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgender, non-binary, pansexual, intersex, asexual, queer, questioning, or an ally." Everybody apart from just your normal, straight, white male, who obviously just wants to switch that television off whenever he puts it on, because it's now just filled with queers and Negroes. The last sort of people that you want to be inviting into your living room and having an influence on your family. You know, I used to watch a TV program when I was a kid called Why Don't You? And it used to say, why don't you just switch off the television set and go and find something else to do? And I think that's wonderful advice that is still applicable to today. Just switch that television set off. Tune into Radio Aryan instead. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.